Good morning, everyone. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, what a joy it is to be here together with all of you today. If this is your first time here at Northwest, I want to welcome you. And I want to thank you for being here. For those of you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it truly is a highlight of my week to come together with all of you. So I'm thankful for this time. I thank God that we can gather together to study His Word together. And so I want to invite you to pray with me again. So if you could, just close your eyes. God, thank you again for today, this beautiful morning that we can gather together to worship you, to study your word. God, we know full well that there is a lot of brokenness in this world. Things don't go the way we want. Things don't go the way we planned. We make mistakes. There are needs all around. And yet, God, I thank you that you are God, that you are in control, that you are all-powerful, that you are everywhere. You can do all things. And God, I thank you that you have a plan. And God, I thank you that you provided for our greatest need. Because God, you know that we are broken and separated from you because of our sin. And we were in need of a Savior. And God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. And so God, thank you for this good news that we have to share with the world. And I pray that this morning, that you would encourage us to stand firm upon your promises, to stand firm upon your truth, and that we would live out our responsibility to go and share this amazing news that we have, the amazing news of Jesus Christ. And so God, I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share this story with you. There's this one day, a government surveyor, alright, someone who's in charge of surveying the land and taking measurements. This surveyor brought his measuring equipment to this farm, and he asked the farmer for permission to set up in his field nearby so that he could take his readings. Now the farmer really wanted nothing to do with this surveyor and was really unwilling to let him enter his property. And noticing that the farmer was really rejecting him coming and taking measurements, the government surveyor pulled out some documents from his pocket and proceeded to explain that he had full authority by the government to enter his field. And he could go anywhere he wanted to in the country because of the authority that the government had given him. Reluctantly, the farmer opened the gate and allowed the surveyor to enter and set up his equipment. And immediately after opening the gate and letting the surveyor in, the farmer went to go open another gate. And actually, do you have a picture here? Jared, okay. The farmer proceeded to open another gate, letting one of his fiercest bulls out into the field. And upon seeing this bull, the surveyor was greatly alarmed. As this bull started to approach him, he could see the farmer on the other side of the fence yelling at him, telling him, "Show that bull your credentials. Show that bull your authority." You see, what was going on here, the surveyor did have authority. He had authority to enter, but he didn't have the power to resist this bull. And I share this story with you guys, not because it relates to us as farmers, or that we encounter bulls on a regular basis, but how many of us have ever felt this way about sharing the gospel? How many of us have ever felt that we understand that it's our responsibility? We understand that God has called us to go and share the good news. But how many of us have ever felt like we just can't do it, or it's just too hard, or we don't have the power to do it? Well, I want to tell you, you know, this is our third part as we've been talking about what it means to be the difference, to be the lights in this world, because we have the light, Jesus Christ, in us. He is with us and we are in Him. Well, see, as the church, there is a huge difference between us and this government surveyor. You see, the difference is Jesus. The difference is that we have been called out, we've been sent out by God, but we have the authority and the power in His presence to fulfill this commission, this mission that He has commanded us to go and do. And so here we are. You know this passage that we're going to study full well. It's in Matthew chapter 28. But as you guys turn there, or as you just look at the bulletin in the outline, you see the passage there. But before we read that passage, what I want to do is I want to give you a little background to bring you up to speed of where we're at in God's Word before we read this passage referred to as the Great Commission. If you were to look at this passage and to study up in the previous chapters of Matthew, you will see that we're looking here at the end of the life and the ministry of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so I want to take you back. I want you to remember Jesus on the cross. What Jesus did for us on the cross when He gave His life, when He was tortured and accused and ridiculed, and He died on the cross, and He was put in the tomb, and He rose from the dead. But I want us to look at the cross. Now Jesus said, I think about seven phrases on the cross, but one of the most important, one of the most powerful things that Jesus said on the cross, what I want to remind you of this morning, is when Jesus said, while He was on that cross, when He said, "It is finished." You see, what did Jesus mean when He said, "It is finished"? He was saying that my obedience is finished and perfect, and you need it. Jesus said, "My suffering is finished, and you need it to cover all of your sin." Jesus said, "I have finished covering sin. I have finished removing the wrath of God from my people. I have finished striking Satan the death blow. I have finished the blow against sin." Jesus is saying, "I've established a new covenant for my people." Jesus said, "It is finished." And it's because, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, it's because it is finished that now the mission begins. It's because it is finished, Jesus' work on the cross is finished, that now the mission begins for you and I, the church, the ones that are called out. Isn't this amazing? When you really consider the scope and the nature of this mission that Jesus has called us to, it's amazing. Because the decisive thing has been done. And think about it. After this happened, after Jesus did His work on the cross, news spread throughout the whole world, and this mission began. And the overwhelming part about this mission to go out and make disciples and baptize and teach, the overwhelming part about this amazing mission is that it's carried out now by who? You and me. You and me. You know, oftentimes I think about this. I think about random things all the time. But sometimes I think, oh, how nice it would be, Jesus, if You were still here. How nice would it be if You could have not left, but You would still be here, and that people could see firsthand You standing here, Your power, Your amazingness. But think about what Jesus has already told us. He said, "As the Father sent Me, now I send you." He said, whoever receives the one I send receives me. He said, whoever receives me receives the Father who sent me. And when you think about these truths, they are stunning. They are stunning truths for every single follower of Jesus Christ. You see, our mission began where redemption ended, on the cross. And our greatest task, our great task, is to spread this good news with all of our might to every single person in the world. And so that brings us to our passage this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Some of you may have memorized these. I want to read them to you and invite you just to read along silently in your bulletin outline or on the screen. But I want to read this passage, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, Jesus, who is he talking to here? He's talking to his followers. He's talking to the disciples. And the key thought for this morning, something that I want you to focus on and remember as we go out, is this. If you can go to the next slide, if it's on there. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ's authority, we will go obediently. And as we go, we will have full assurance of His presence. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ as authority, we will go obediently with full assurance of His presence. And we see that outlined here in this Great Commission, in these few verses. This is why we go. And so that first point, if you'd like to fill in your outline, please write it in. But that first point is, we go in the authority of Jesus Christ. We go in the authority of Jesus Christ. And so let's look here what Jesus says about authority. Look at verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go. Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I am telling you to go. Friends, here's why this is so important. And I want to share with you this, just something that I was thinking about. I was reading about this story about mission efforts to southern China in the early part of the 20th century. And in this article, it was highlighting how difficult it was for these missionaries to go into this different culture, into these different people. And one thing that was highlighted was describing the beliefs of this certain people. Okay, the spiritual beliefs of this certain people, and how radically different, how huge the challenges were for these missionaries to share the gospel, to share the truth of Jesus Christ. And so when I read about this, I started to think, this is really hard. This is really a difficult task. How can missionaries from a totally different country, a completely different culture, go to a people that have an extremely different belief system? And how can these missionaries go and expect these people to adopt whatever the missionaries are trying to teach? How can these missionaries go and say, well, I understand what you believe, but you are wrong. And here, let me tell you the truth. You see, it made me think about our world today. We live in a world that is broken, ravaged by sin. And I imagine that a lot of times our effort to share the truth of God's Word, to share the good news of the gospel, is oftentimes seen by popular culture as offensive or inconsiderate or intolerant. So how can we do this? Church, how can we do this? How can we share the gospel with a people that reject God? How can an ordinary human being like me talk to someone who is completely different, has a different life, a different belief system, and let them know again that what they believe is not right, and what I believe is right, and how they can be saved? How can we do this? Well, I think Jesus tells us right here. We can do this, church. Brothers, sisters, we can do this because Jesus said all authority is His. And He's given us all that we need to know and share right here in His Word. You see, none of us can do this unless we believe that God is for real. Unless we believe that God's Word is true and that He has spoken to us. None of us can do this unless we believe. None of us will go and do this unless we believe that there is no salvation apart from Jesus. So this is why Jesus' authority here is so essential. We have this authority. You and I, church, we have this authority as His ambassadors, as His representatives to this world. So we go. And as we go with the full authority of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. It's not about how weak you are. It's not about how much you don't know. It's not about what if they get angry. And I'm not saying we just push the truth down their throats. But what I'm saying is oftentimes we allow fear to paralyze us. We allow fear to close our mouths and keep the gospel to ourselves. We need to remember all authority is in Jesus Christ, and He is the one that has sent us out to go. We go in the authority of Jesus. And the second point on your outline, we also go in obedience to His command. Go in obedience to Christ's command. And what is He commanding here? Go, make disciples, but He also says go and baptize. And I want us to park here on baptism for a moment. What is baptism? Now, obviously, we've seen it. Those of you that have been a member of this church for many, many years, you know. Well, we fill this up with water, and we bring people back there, and we dunk them. Yes, that's part of it. But what is baptism? Have you ever considered the significance of baptism? In its most simplest form, baptism is an outward expression that I belong to Jesus. It's an outward expression of our inward condition, of what Jesus has done and how He saved us and made us new. It's a statement, a declaration when you get baptized that you have given full and complete allegiance to Jesus. It's a declaration that you were once dead in your sin, but now you are alive in Jesus Christ. What is baptism? It means that you have this newness of life that is marked by trust in God's promises. It means that you've moved from darkness to light. Think about it like this. Baptism, what is it? It's like a sign that's pointing other people to the change that Jesus Christ has made in you. So what do, church? We go. We go and we share the good news. Moving in this world, going out, reaching out, declaring and proclaiming Jesus Christ to draw people into that kind of relationship with Him. Baptism. It's an amazing picture of what Christ has done for each one of us. We go, and we're going to go and baptize, and making disciples, right? A disciple is one who follows and wants to be just like their master. And our master as Christians is Jesus Christ. And so we go out making disciples. We go baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what else does Jesus command us to do as we go and make disciples? He commands us to go and teach. Teach them. Teach people. Teach everyone to live out all that He has commanded. We teach them everything. All of God's Word. Our mission is not just to bring people to allegiance to Jesus Christ, but also to help people become like Jesus, to live like Him, to be like Him. And so this is what the Great Commission looks like, dear church. We preach the gospel, we share the gospel in such a way, with such a fullness that people are made right with God. And if you think about it, what does that mean? Use this churchy word for people being made right with God. We talk about this word, justification. If you think about it, that's what the Great Commission is about. Bringing people to be made right with God. That they would be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, once we're made right with God, there's something, there's a supernatural change that starts to happen. This process that starts in each one of us as followers of Jesus, and we call it sanctification. And what is sanctification? It means that we are being made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is what the Great Commission looks like. It's not just a command to go and do. But as we go and we share so that people's lives can be changed. So that they can become right with God and that they can be made new in the image of God, in the image of Jesus Christ. This is the nature of the mission that we are commanded to live out, church. And who does Jesus command us to go to? Who does He say that we are to go to? We are to go to all the nations, right? Who are all of the nations? Who are all of the people that God has called us to go and make disciples of? And Jesus isn't necessarily talking about different countries, but what Jesus is talking about here, He's referring to people of all ethnicities. And that stems from the Greek word, okay, and you can ask me about it later, but ethne, talking about all people groups. Not talking about geographical lands. He's talking about all people. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is for all people. And as I was looking into this, did you know there are about 12,000 to 13,000 people groups in the world today? 12,000 to 13,000 people groups. And about half of those people groups are still unchurched and unreached by the gospel. About half of all of the people groups in the world are still unreached. And this is who Jesus is talking about. All people, every single person in the world, He wants all people to be part of His kingdom. And He's calling us, He's commanding us now to go get them. To go and share with them, to go and love them, to go and walk alongside them, to go and provide for their needs, to be a blessing to them, and tell them about how we have been blessed by Him, by God. Dear church family, the harvest is plentiful, isn't it? When you sit down and think about it, we don't have to go look at a different country to know that the harvest is plentiful, do we? For me, I can look in my own relatives. I can look around when I walk outside of this building. I can look in this building and I can see the people that I pray for and I want so desperately to know the love and the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, as we've been studying God's Word these past few weeks, maybe for some of you, your eyes are being opened to see the harvest. For some of you, maybe you're starting to feel this urgency that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that our need for salvation is now. It's today. Our need for Jesus is today. Maybe for some of you, God has put someone very specific on your heart that you've been praying that they would confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If that's you here today, if you have that burden for that one person, I encourage you, let's go. Let's go to them. Let's have that conversation again with them. Let's have that conversation maybe for the very first time with them. Let's go follow up with them. Let's go talk with them. Let's go ask them if they would take a minute and allow us to share the greatest news that we've ever heard. You know, for some of you, it's the loved ones that maybe that God has put on your heart, and you're praying for an opportunity to share the gospel with them for the very first time. For others, maybe there's someone here today that your eyes are being opened to all the lost that are in the world, to those thousands and millions of people that still are unchurched and in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe God is putting that on your heart here today, and not just here locally, but overseas, reaching those other ethnic groups of people that are lost. And I encourage you, will you consider going? Maybe it's for a week, maybe it's for 2 weeks, maybe it's for a month, maybe it's for a year. Maybe God is calling you to go somewhere for a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, we go to different people in different ways, but we go with the same message. Because Jesus is our authority. And He sent us out with the greatest message. The gospel that is the power of what? The power of salvation to all those who believe. And maybe I encourage you to think about it like this. We've been talking and learning about the harvest and how it's so plentiful, meaning that there are people waiting and yearning for a Savior, waiting and yearning to come to Christ. And all they're waiting for is one of us to come and share with them. Have you ever thought about it like this? That maybe that person that God has placed on your heart, maybe God wants to use you. Maybe God wants to use you to reap that harvest. To use you to bring them to faith in Christ. Can you imagine? Can you even think about what it might look like to reap the harvest today? To reap the harvest for your loved ones to come to faith in Jesus Christ, for your friends to come to faith in Jesus Christ today, this week. You know, I'll never forget, you know, as we're talking about what Jesus has commanded us to do, as He's commanded us to baptize and teach and make disciples, I will never forget as a teenager, as a college student, growing up in my home church, I will never forget the day when I witnessed two grandfathers get baptized. These were two men in the church who were not faithful members of the church. I would not consider them members at all. But they had family members. They had spouses that were faithful members of the church. They had grandchildren and children that were faithful brothers and sisters in Christ that were praying for them, that were praying for their salvation. Year after year, for decades. And who would have ever thought that these two senior citizen grandfathers, who were just casual attenders, they would commit to go and be a part of a small group. A church small group. That they would go and they would commit time to go and learn it and look into God's Word together. And at the end of that study that we were going through, that these two men would give their lives to Jesus Christ and follow Christ in water baptism. I will never forget that day. You see, we go with all the authority of Jesus Christ. We go in obedience because that's what He's called us to do. And we trust that He is with us and that He is the one that saves. Jesus is the only one that saves. Brothers and sisters, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. So let's go. Let's go. And the last point, number three, we go in dependence on the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, we don't go alone. Yeah, we might see that raging bull across from us. We might go through hardship and struggle and persecution. And some of that biggest struggle might be our own insecurity, our own fear. But never forget that you are not alone. Never forget. That's why Jesus, so wise in knowing and so caring and compassionate, knowing exactly what the disciples need at the time, He finishes that command, that commission with what? A word of encouragement. Jesus ends with a word of encouragement in verse 20. What does He say? He says, "Surely, surely I am with you always. Even to the very end of the age. I am with you always. I will be with you through it all." There is this missionary named John Patton. And he had this autobiography. And John Patton was a missionary in the 1800s. And he felt called to go to the island of Tanna. Has anyone been to the island of Tanna? Or heard of the island of Tanna? I didn't hear about it until I read this. It's an island that is hundreds of miles to the east of Australia. Okay? And this is back in the early 1800s. And so, Patton shares the story of how he had been a missionary on that island to this indigenous people group for 4 whole years, risking his life, actually being threatened to be killed over and over, and yet he shares how he saw such very little progress after 4 years of being there. He expresses his frustration in seeing such little progress, and he lived to share the story. But there is this one time in his ministry there on that island that he experienced 1,500 native people wanting to hunt him down and kill him, actually chasing him with spears and machetes in hand. But thank God he had one local friend on that island, one friend that was standing by his side. And this friend, in the midst where they are literally running for their lives, this friend says, "John, you go that way, you climb up that tree, and you hide there. I will distract the crowd and pray that God would have mercy on your life. After I distract the crowd, you get down from the tree, you go on the boat, and may God save you and spare you." And what happened here? Guess what happened? They cut the tree down. No. God spared his life. He made it off of that island. He did not get killed by the mob. But here's the cool thing. Not that that wasn't cool enough, that somehow thousands of people just got distracted and didn't see him climb up the tree. But over the next 40 years, he got to see thousands of people come to Jesus Christ on that island. In that moment, when he was hiding up in a tree, as his killers were passing by underneath him, looking back at that situation over 40 years later, he writes this. This quote, "I would go back to the tree in that moment any day, if I could enjoy the same sweet, precious fulfillment of Jesus' promise, I will be with you to the very end of the age." continues to say this, I enjoyed such sweet communion with Jesus in that tree, in that deathly moment, than I have ever enjoyed in my whole life. I've enjoyed such sweet communion with Jesus Christ in that tree, in that deathly moment, more than I have ever enjoyed in my life. Brothers and sisters, this is how precious the promise of Christ's presence is. People will risk their lives. You see, but we will never be left without Jesus. And then further on in his writing, Patton poses a question to whoever's reading. Patton asks this question to the reader. And I think this is a very profound question, and it's a question that I want to ask you here, dear friends. Patton asks this question, do you have a friend like that? Now, he's not talking about the friend that created a diversion. He's talking about Jesus. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend that when you are up in a tree and everything around you in your life seems to be failing, do you have a friend like that? And can you say, oh, what a friend I have in Jesus? Brothers and sisters, you know this passage. We know that obedience to the Great Commission is not easy. We know that it'll be costly, but we also know that it's worth it. It's worth it. Jesus will return one day, and His reward will be infinitely greater than any cost we will have incurred. So together, let's hope in His promise. Let's hope and look forward to His return. You see, Revelation chapter 22, verse 4 says, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus will one day be fully and finally established, and we will see His face. Northwest, do you see the need? Will you check your heart and will you go and tell the world until we see Him face to face? Will you go? Let's pray. God, we need You every moment. Thank You for Your amazing grace. Thank You, God, for loving and saving sinners like us. And God, You know there are some of us here that feel like we're stuck in a tree with no friends. Some of us here need to start today by going to You, realizing that You've been here, You've been near all along, and that we need You desperately to save us. God, You know You've been waiting for us to confess that we need You, that we need You to forgive us, to save us. And God, we know there's some people here that today they want to acknowledge that they believe You. They believe, Jesus, that You're God's Son, that You died on the cross, that You rose from the dead. There's someone here that today, they realize today is the day of salvation and they want to confess Jesus as Lord. And God, I pray that as we talk about going, that would be their going today, that they would go to You. And God, I pray for others of my brothers and sisters here today who desire so desperately to see the lost people in their lives come to faith in Jesus as their Lord. And I pray, God, that You would continue to break our hearts for the lost, that we would never cease praying, crying out to You, praying that these people would be saved. And I pray, God, that You would lead us in all wisdom, in all discernment, that You would help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all grace, with all love, with all wisdom, that we would know what to say and how to say it, but God, that we would say it so that the lost may be saved. God, grant us to go. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to rise. We're going to have a time of responding to God. And I want to invite you this, with this, dear friends. If you made that decision today, where you acknowledge and you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died on the cross and He rose from the dead, and you confess that you want Him to be your Lord today, I want to invite you to come, share that with me so I can pray with you. And for others of you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to invite you, if God is leading you to go in some specific way, whether that's to go a great distance, whether that's to go across the room, or whether that's to pick up a phone and call that person that He's placed on your heart, I want to invite you to come pray with me, or I want to invite you just to come again and just pray and lift that person up to the Lord. And not only that person, but to allow God to speak to you. And so as we sing, I invite you to come and respond to God.